You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway.
Writer's block is something I experience with every record in one way, shape, or form. I have the feeling of the universe allotted a certain number of songs and I hit my quota and now I'm never going to write another good song again. But usually the darkest moments of writer's block, right, when it really gets hard and you're really kind of borderline panicking over it, that's usually when you push through in my experience. It's like I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, kept doing the next thing, and before I knew it, I wrote Fire and it really felt like, okay, I got this. It's gonna be okay. I'm Katie Crutchfield from Waxahachie.
Katie Crutchfield is a singer and songwriter from Birmingham, Alabama. She's been making music under the name Waxahachie since 2010. Her fifth album, St. Cloud, came out this past March. Pitchfork named it Best New Music, and The Guardian called it the best album of the year so far. In this episode, Katie breaks down how she made the song Fire.
For some of us, it ain't enough. It ain't enough.
As I was preparing to write the song, I was traveling. I had been spending a lot of time here in Kansas, which is where I live. It was winter, and I was sort of hammering away at writing the record. And then I went on a trip with my partner, Kevin, to Birmingham, Alabama, which is where I'm from. We were visiting my family, and as we were leaving, I got this melody in my head. Na, 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 na. And it was just sort of the most awkward timing because it was as I was saying goodbye to my family, as I was about to get into a car for a very long journey with Kevin, and I just kind of couldn't find an easy way to hold on to it. Like, usually I would just record that in my phone and then forget about it until I had some time to actually sit with it. But I was too distracted with what was happening right in front of me. So I started the drive, and I just repeated the melody just sort of over and over. And I kind of would lose it for a second, and then it would come back. And when by the time we got to Memphis, that's when I started to really put lyrics to it. And then the moment that I got home, I recorded the very first demo of the whole song. I gravitated toward electric piano. With every album, I usually have an instrument of choice that sort of is the thing that's inspiring me. And guitar, I'm hyper aware of the chord progressions that I like tend to go to. And with piano, I just know so little. It takes me a minute to even figure out, is this a C chord? You know, it's like my knowledge of it is like pretty limited. So I can like let go of some of the hangups that I have just because I don't really know what I'm doing. So I can kind of just stick to what sounds exciting melodically to me rather than get in my head about chord progressions and things like that. The first line that came to me was, "That's what I wanted."
That's what I wanted. It's not as if we cry it, ever call it rain. West Memphis is on fire in the light day.
I wrote that as we were driving over the Mississippi River, over a bridge from Tennessee to Arkansas to West Memphis, and the sun was kind of going down and the light was reflecting. It was so bright. I was just trying to find a way to like poetically talk about that and like also talk about what I wanted in that larger moment. You know, I had been going through a lot of dark stuff. I had just gotten sober and I had chosen to take a lot of time off from music. And I think I was having a little bit of an identity crisis and then having these big panicky writer's block feelings. So I wanted to find a way to poetically say I can love myself through this darkness that's happening.
I take it for granted if I can love you unconditionally. I could iron out the edges of the darkest sky. For some of us, it ain't enough. It ain't enough.
I was thinking a lot at the time about unconditional love and really kind of thinking of that as like the ultimate position to take. The softness around loving anybody unconditionally, loving yourself unconditionally. I was thinking a lot about that as like something that I wanted to be able to achieve in like all my relationships. So just not let it have terms, to just accept people and accept myself. So I had like a loose idea, but I knew I needed help. I knew I needed like other people to come in and help me figure out what the next phase of the song was going to be. I sent this song to Brad Cook, who is the producer of the record, who is really like my main collaborator on the whole thing. When you're in a project where you're, you know, it's really just like a solo project, it's so important to have a sounding board, to have a collaborator, a person who you can bounce ideas off of or talk to about your songs. You know, from the beginning, Brad really shared my excitement about the song, and then I pretty quickly sent it to the guys who I knew were going to be the band on the record. Nick Kinsey, who's a great drummer, and Bobby Colombo and Bill Lennox, who were both in the band Bonnie Doon, an amazing band in their own right. There was one time where the band was in Durham and everybody was together and we were all demoing, and most of the songs I'd written for the record were really straightforward, and it really felt like, okay, we're all just going to set up in a room as a band and like knock all these songs out. But, you know, anytime we got to Fire, we'd all just kind of look at each other and be like, let's just skip this one. We'll come back to it. And then we just ended up doing that until it was time to go into the studio. I think we were all scared to overthink it, and we were scared to like make it go through a million processes. We all kind of knew like this one is going to be different. It was like there was this unspoken agreement between all of us that let's tuck this one away, and then when we get in the studio, we'll just see if some kind of magic happens. We made the record at Sonic Ranch in West Texas. It is a amazing studio that is a like 4,000 acre pecan ranch, and there's like a compound of recording studios on the property. And I went back and re-recorded my electric piano. And then we started with the beat. So I had just anticipated, like, this is going to be a drum machine song, and the rest of the record is going to have analog drums. So I don't know how it happened, but Brad was like, let's get Nick in there, and let's work on the drum sound to make it sound a little bit more like a drier, kind of, like, manufactured beat. We just recorded, like, a really basic sort of track, just doing four on the floor, and then the snare. Then he added the toms. The beat sort of grows and evolves. And we were just also excited about the drum sound. We were like, this is actually so much better than a drum machine, because it really does feel like a performance, like there's a warmth to it. I believe what came next were the guitars, and that was what was the most surprising about the song. I didn't really even think about guitars on the song. I kind of didn't really see it, and then Bobby just kind of pulled out this part. He started doing that along with Nick, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then Bill wrote this beautiful sort of complimentary lick on the song right after Bobby. That's just totally pulled out of thin air and was not at all part of the plan, and yet now I'm obsessed with it. I was feeling kind of sick going into Sonic Ranch. I came to record straight from Barcelona, and I had this fear of like, I'm going to get on that long flight and I'm just going to get sick right as I'm going into the studio to make my record. And of course I did. So I was feeling really nervous about the vocals. I kind of warned everyone, which is just like a fatal flaw. I was like, guys, I'm going to take this slow, okay? I'm going to do like one line at a time, then we're going to need to stop, and I'm going to like take a sip of my tea, and we're going to like have a breath, and then I'm going to do the next line. And everybody was like, yeah, whatever you need. It's all good. Like, you don't have to stress. And then I did that and it sounded so wrong and so forced and too performative. And I was really frustrated. And then Brad was like, just go in there and like lay down one more scratch vocal, like just do the whole thing from top to bottom. And then we'll just move on and we'll come back to vocals. Don't worry about it. And I was like, okay. So I went in the booth and then I did that. And I walked out and everyone was like, that's it. That's the vocal take. Cause it just had like an ease to it.
I take it for granted. If I could love you unconditionally, I could iron out the edges of the darkest sky. For some of us, it ain't enough. It ain't enough.
I really feel like this part of the song is really for me. I was like, I want to write a love song that's sort of about this turbulent relationship, but I want the relationship to be sort of between me at my best versus me at my worst, and sort of those two voices negotiating with each other and trying to come together as like one.
And when I turn back around, will you drain me back out? Will you let me believe that I broke through? Feel like 100 years later, I'm wiser and slow and attuned.
As sort of folky as it had become with the analog instruments, we still wanted it to feel poppy and synthy, so we sort of put some layers, different synth and organ sounds to sort of blend, just like extra atmosphere to build the vibe of the song. The whole song at the end, when I finished recording it, I realized pretty quickly that it did kind of do everything I had set out for it to do. I don't know, stepping into that power of like, I'm going to write this song that's going to be about this kind of tormented relationship that I have with myself, and actively kind of piecing that together. Honestly, I feel like this idea of unconditional love as something that I could have and hold for myself, at least that being a goal, was kind of a new thing for me. Yeah, I'm sure that in hindsight, when I look back on things in my life, I will certainly see that as just a step in the right direction, I guess. Even just with the sounds, even when you take the lyrics out of it, just the mood of the song is that like warm, loving, uplifting energy. Like it's supposed to make people feel good and happy and excited. And I felt like this is... yeah, weirdly, exactly what it was supposed to be.
And now, here's Fire by Waxahachie in its entirety.
That's what I wanted. It's not as easy.
Visit songexploder.net to learn more about Waxahachie. You'll also find links to buy or stream the song, and you can watch the music video there. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Song Exploder is made by me, Hrishikesh Hirway, with producer Christian Kunz, production assistant Olivia Wood, and illustrator Carlos Lerma. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of independent creative podcasts. You can learn more about our shows at radiotopia.fm. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. You can also follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.